Daily Dose from Food Health Lab. I'm Irene. Today, creatine again, but a very different question from last time. Not your brain this time, your muscles, your strength, and specifically women after menopause.
So the gym powder graduates from the group chat to the menopause conversation. I'll believe the numbers when I've seen the confidence intervals.
That's Tom. He reads the appendix before the abstract.
And today, there's a real appendix to read. A fresh systematic review and meta-analysis, pulling together the randomized trials of creatine in postmenopausal women. Lean mass, strength, and bone.
So here's the plan. What the review actually found. The one line that decides whether it's worth your money, the honest caveats, and who should simply skip it.
I've been handed the skip it section. Naturally.
Ethan, set the scene. What went into this review?
7 randomized placebo-controlled trials. 608 women, mean age around 62, with trials running anywhere from 12 to 104 weeks, a median of about 38. A genuine spread. But let's be honest about the size. 7 trials is a small evidence base, and that word, small, should sit with us the whole episode.
Noted and underlined. 600 women sounds like a crowd until you remember it's split across 7 different studies with 7 different protocols.
And the headline. Does creatine work for these women?
The article makes a lovely point here. The interesting split isn't works versus doesn't. It's the conditions. The gains showed up only in trials using at least 5 grams a day alongside resistance training. Trials using 3 grams or less, with no training attached, showed no measurable effect at all.
So the dose and the training are the whole story. Take a low dose, skip the gym, and you've bought yourself some expensive tap water.
Bluntly, yes. Creatine here isn't a compound that transforms bodies. It's one that lets you train a little harder and recover a little better, and the numbers follow from the training.
With it, you're up. Let's get to those numbers. Because people always ask how much.
Lean mass favored creatine by about plus 0.37 kilograms, pooled from 5 trials and 338 women. And leg press strength, the 1 rep max, improved by about 7.5 kilograms across 3 trials.
0.37 kilograms. That's roughly a third of a liter of water's worth of muscle. Real, measurable, and let's not pretend it's a transformation.
Precisely the right framing. These are small effects about what you'd expect from creatine in any population.
The strength number felt bigger to me. 7.5 kilos on a leg press?
And that one held up better statistically. There was essentially no heterogeneity between the trials on strength, meaning they broadly agreed. The strength signal is the sturdier of the two.
Here's where I earn my keep. Be honest about the lean mass result, Ethan.
Fair, and it matters. The prediction interval for lean mass ran from minus 0.1 to plus 0.84 kilograms, which crosses zero.
Translate that for the group chat.
On average across these trials, creatine came out positive. But that range means a future trial could plausibly find nothing at all. The average is encouraging. It isn't a guarantee.
So strength, fairly solid, lean mass, positive on average, but shakier.
That's the honest summary, yes.
Now the one a lot of women actually came for. Bone? Does creatine protect bone density after menopause?
And this is the disappointment. And I'd rather say it plainly than soften it. Bone density did not move. The review found nothing there.
Which stings, because bone is exactly why a lot of postmenopausal women get interested in creatine in the first place.
Right. So if bone is your goal, creatine isn't the lever. The levers that actually move bone are resistance training, enough protein, vitamin D, and where appropriate, medical treatment. Creatine isn't on that list.
Good to be clear. What about safety? That's the other perennial worry.
Reassuringly unremarkable. Adverse events were mild and no different from placebo, and kidney markers were unchanged. Creatine's reputation for harming kidneys has never had good evidence behind it in healthy people, and nothing here revives it.
I'll allow unremarkable. It's the nicest thing I say all episode.
We'll frame it. Ethan, how good is this evidence really?
Middling, and I mean that fairly. Most trials landed at some concerns on risk of bias.
Is there at least one trial in there you'd trust on its own?
There is, and it's worth naming. One large pre-registered double-blind trial sat at low risk of bias. That's the sturdy pillar in the set. But the review as a whole wasn't prospectively registered, so treat the pooled picture as a reasonable early signal, not a final answer.
A reasonable early signal. Put that on the label instead of clinically proven.
All right, bring it home. Who should actually take this, and how?
If you're postmenopausal, already doing resistance training, and you want a cheap supplement with a decent safety record, 5 grams a day of plain creatine monohydrate is a defensible choice.
And the flip side, my section. If you're not training, the evidence here says don't bother. On its own, the supplement did nothing. And buy the plain monohydrate. The fancier, pricier forms have never beaten it.
So it's a training amplifier, not a standalone pill.
Exactly. It rewards the work. It doesn't replace it.
Match it to a habit, not a hope. Ethan, Tom, thank you. That was the Daily Dose from Food Health Lab. One honest note before we go. This is educational content, not personal medical advice. Creatine looks safe for most healthy people, but if you have kidney disease or take regular medication, please talk with your own clinician before starting any supplement. And if bone health is your worry, take that conversation to your doctor too. We'll see you next time.